Chapter 5. Author's Notes. Content warning for an anxiety attack in this chapter. Tend to your mind, like Kim tends to his weird little schemes. Che let thoughts of Kim recede into the background for the rest of the day. It wasn't hard, with Porsche there, his scent mixing perfectly with Che's and making the house feel like home again. Porsche was definitely feeling better now. It settled something in Che's chest to know that he was settling Porsche. He was fixing it. They decided to eat dinner outside. Porsche with his beer, Che with his water. "You sure you don't want to invite Jom and Tem over?" Che asked. Porsche reached over and ruffled his hair. "Nah, pup. I want to spend time with you." Che didn't bother hiding how delighted that made him. Before they could finish dinner, however, there was a knock at their door. "They must have heard your psychic call," Che said, resigning himself to the chaos Porsche's friends brought. Porsche rolled his eyes and went to let them in. But when the gate squeaked open, there were none of the happy shouts that typically accompanied Jom and Tem's arrival. The breeze carried the change in Porsche's scent, turning the sweet caramel burnt and bitter. Che dashed to the front door. Porsche was blocking the doorway with his body, his back rigid. There was another man outside, hair perfectly coiffed, wearing fancy clothes that Kim would have approved of. He smelled smoky. "Porsche," the man said. He put a lot of emotion into that one word, and Che saw his brother react to it, the lines of his body softening. "Oh, I don't think so," Che said, wiggling himself into the doorway beside Porsche. "My brother is on vacation, Kun Kin." Because that was clearly who it was. They didn't know any other rich people. Kin surveyed him with genuine assessment, like Che was a potential threat. "You must be Porsche." Porsche growled a warning. Kin looked like someone who was used to being obeyed. His rich scent was rolling off him in waves now. Even though it wasn't a genuine alpha command, there was way too much power in his voice when he said, "Porsche, let me in. Please." Porsche hesitated, and then looked pissed about it. Nothing, absolutely nothing, infuriated Che more than an alpha trying to boss his brother around. Porsche enjoyed obeying, but only on his terms. Only when the person had earned it. Che thought about how Kim could make himself aloof and disdainful, like the whole world was beneath him. He thought about the times when he annoyed Porsche the most. And then he put all that into his voice and said, "Aw, yeah, you were right. He is pathetic when he tries to pull that alpha shit. Kinda cute, though. In a sad sort of way." Kin spluttered. It broke the tension in Porsche enough to make him look over at him. Che stood firmly beside him, trying to project his resolve. He normally kept his scent locked down to avoid messing with people, but he wanted to mess with this guy. Che relaxed his control and then pushed his scent out into the air. This was his territory and his brother. And no one bossed Porsche around here. Porsche's shoulders relaxed as Che's scent washed over both of them. "It's so embarrassing," Che continued snidely. "I am embarrassed for him and for all alphas everywhere." Porsche cleared his throat, warming up to the banter. "It is kind of hard to watch." "See, you get it," Che said warmly. "This is why you're my favorite." Porsche was like one of those desert plants that only needed a few drops of water to bloom. The hold Kun Kin had on him when he'd first arrived had dissipated. Porsche looked at the expression on Kin's face and laughed. Kin Sent turned annoyed, but not actually angry. He stared at Porsche as if he'd never seen him laugh before, and never wanted to see anything else. "Hey, you," Jay said. "How about you talk to my brother nicely, huh?" "Yeah," Porsche drawled, his confidence back in full force now that Che was backing him up. "Talk to me nicely." "I did say please," Kin pointed out. "Do better," Che said. Honestly, he'd expected this guy to be snarling at him by now. But Kin just let out a frustrated huff. "Porsche, you have never talked to me nicely a single day in your life." "Oh, but you're at my house now. My pack rules apply." "You have broken literally all of my pack rules." "Well then, I guess crossing people's lines is something we have in common." The humor had gone out of Porsche's voice. In his scent, the bitterness was melting into something sad and aching. Kin rocked back a step, like Porsche had punched him.
"Porsche, I..."
Che pressed against Porsche's side bracingly. "You don't have to talk to him, Hia. We can send him away." He put enough power in those last words that Kin knew he wasn't joking around. But Kin wasn't paying attention to him. He couldn't seem to take his eyes off Porsche.
I don't know, Porsche said.
"Kin, why are you here?" Kin opened his mouth, but obviously the words wouldn't come. He reminded Che suddenly of Kim, the way he'd sometimes act like his words were locked deep inside himself. Instead, Kin bowed. He bowed deeply. Che could see the top of his head. Porsche sucked in a breath. Kin didn't straighten. He just stayed with his head bent and waited.
"Kin," Porsche said softly.
Kin lifted his head just enough that their eyes met. Porsche reached out a hand, but stopped just short of touching him. Porsche gave Che a quick, questioning look. "Better," Che allowed.
"Okay, you can come in."
Kin smiled, and it made his face look kind. When they were sitting back outside, Kin gave Che a respectful nod.
"Excuse my rudeness," he said formally. "My name is Kin, heir to the Thirapanyakul Pack. You are the Kitasawa Ted Alpha. I should have greeted you like that."
Che and Porsche never called him a Head Alpha. That wasn't how they thought about it. Still, Che recognized someone trying to make a gesture. It seemed like Kin had come here to make gestures.
"Yeah, well, I'd say it's nice to meet you, but I'm not sure about that yet."
Kin grimaced.
"Okay."
Porsche placed a piece of fish carefully onto Che's plate, then shoved the bowl of potatoes in Kin's direction with his elbow.
"You can serve yourself."
Che locked eyes with Kin. "And when you're done, I'll take some." Kin's eyes were very, very scary. He looked ready to throw his spoon at Che's head. Che would bet his entire Wick photo collection that this guy had never served another alpha anything. Che's self-defense strategy mostly relied on being too adorable to punch. It had worked out pretty well for him so far, and he honestly saw no reason to deviate for this guy.
Che wasn't going to out-testosterone him, that's for sure. Plus, Porsche wanted Kin here, and Che was getting tired of all this stupid alpha posturing. So instead of glaring back at Kin, Che gave his best little brother pleading eyes, just to see what would happen. Kin faltered. "Please?" Che asked, nudging his plate forward. Kin, with an expression of deep confusion, slowly spooned some potatoes onto Che's plate.
"Thanks,"
Che said, letting a little bit of Kitasawa's gremlin into his smile. Kin's expression of confusion grew. Porsche made a tiny grunt of approval. Kin darted hopeful eyes at him, and then asked Che, "Would you like a beer?" "He's 17, Porsche said, exasperated. Kin blinked. "That's a no, Kin." "Ah. Okay, okay. This guy was growing on him."
"See?"
Che encouraged.
"Nicely."
Porsche stuck his tongue out at Kin. "Nicely." Kin looked like he was regretting sitting down.
"Eh, give the kid to Sawatz 30 minutes.
They'd have him regretting more than that." Kim had done his normal schedule all day. He'd appeared in class, practiced his music, and ignored his publicist's texts full of crying emojis. He'd texted Che, too. His father said to set up a social pattern, so that's what he was going to do. Kim's Omega was still quiet and obedient after its lesson last night, but it had perked up at all the texts from Che on his phone. It felt cared for that Che had been checking on them. Che knew the difference between texting Wick and texting Kim. Not many people did.
"It was just work, Omega. Don't get your panties in a twist."
All day, Kim thought about food. When he bought his meals, he tracked how much he spent, and eventually concluded that Che was right. A guitar was worth a lot. He couldn't stop thinking about his new guitar, and how many meals Che could eat from it. He'd made Che use practically his entire pantry yesterday. Bodyguards didn't get much vacation, so Porsche would be leaving soon. What if Che didn't have enough to eat? This had nothing to do with his Omega, Kim told himself as he got into his car. This was work. He was going to drop off some groceries because Che was still a mark, no matter what had happened last night. The fact that Kim had never done anything like this for a mark before didn't mean anything. Actually, no, it did. It meant Kim was fucking good at his job. He stopped at the next store he saw and got what he normally ate if left to his own devices. That was probably fine. It was dark by the time he pulled onto Che's street. He had no desire to run into Porsche again, or even Che, honestly, so he parked the car a few blocks away and hefted the bags of food over his shoulder. He'd just drop them off and leave. As he got closer to the house, though, his skin started prickling. Something wasn't right. The street was both too quiet and too crowded. There were two unmarked trucks pulled in front of the Kitasawa's house. There was also a distressingly familiar Maserati. What was Kin doing here? Kim dropped the bags in the driveway and pressed himself against the outer wall of the house. He could hear voices he didn't recognize raised in threat coming from the yard. He heard Kin's familiar growl and smelled the stink of aggressive alphas. Awesome. Great. Kim was so happy to be involved in his brother's shit without warning, especially when it was going to blow most of his cover.
He had just started to quietly climb the garden wall when the voices raised in sudden shouts. There was the sound of a gunshot. Che screamed, "Hia!" Kim was over the wall before he could think. There were 8 men training guns on Porsche and Kin, who were uninjured. Clearly it had been a warning shot. There was one with an arm around Che's neck. With Che's scream echoing in his ears, Kim Han dropped into the group of men like a dirty bomb. Kim Han wanted these men brutally, excruciatingly dead. His Omega demanded they lose their hands first for daring to touch their pack. Kim required they die quickly so Che could wipe that horrified look off his face.
"Kim?"
shouted Kin. Kim Han disarmed a guy with a punch to his solar plexus and used the gun to shoot the guy in the face.
"Where are your fucking guards?" he shouted back.
Porsche was a whirlwind of violence aimed directly at the guy holding his brother. Kim approved. He tossed Kin the gun, and Kin shot the man coming up in Kim's blind spot. Kim Han spun around and dropped the guy who was trying to sneak up on Kin from behind. Kin gave him a shrug, and Kim rolled his eyes.
"Stop or I'll kill the kid!"
There were 3 attackers left standing, the one with his arm around Che's throat, and 2 others on the edge of the fight, guns aimed right at them. Kin, Porsche, and Kim all froze.
"I'll snap his neck,"
the guy threatened, his voice wavering now that he had their attention. He was touching poor Che's throat. Kim Han took one lethal step forward and practically purred. "Will you, though?" Che's eyes were wide with terror and shock. He shook his head wildly at Kim, warning him away. Kim Han bared his teeth.
"How about you let him go and I make your death quick?" "Kun Kin and his bodyguard come with us,"
the guy said stubbornly.
"A trade for the boy."
"Done," Kin said immediately.
"Now let him go."
"Kin,"
Porsche breathed gratefully, his eyes never leaving his brother.
"Don't,"
Che begged.
"It won't save you for long,"
Kim Han promised the men, violence dripping off his words.
"A day. Maximum."
"Hia, please."
Porsche stepped forward.
"It's okay," he said to Che. "I'll be okay."
"No, you can't take him. You can't. You..."
Che's scent was pouring off him in furious waves. And then, his lips pulled back from his teeth in a snarl.
"No,"
he said again, differently this time. He turned his head to look at the man who was holding him.
"Let me go."
The words were so heavy with power that they vibrated the teeth in Kim's skull.
"Let me go,"
Che growled, low and deadly. His scent crashed over Kim's head like a wave. The man holding Che swayed. Had Che always had this much power? Had he been able to do this the entire time Kim had known him? Che took another snarling breath, and then he commanded,
"Stop fighting my pack."
Che's scent became the only air in Kim's lungs. Che's voice was his heartbeat pounding in his ears. The Alpha Command shivered in the air all around him, but it didn't strangle him. He and Porsche both rocked back a step, but it was all right. It wasn't a command against him, and there was no compulsion to follow it. Che's power felt at home in his body, like Kim had already made space for it. The man dropped Che, like his fingers didn't work anymore. Kin spun around and shot the other two men while they stared, slack-jawed and frozen. Porsche darted forward and pulled Che into his arms. Che collapsed into him and buried his face in his chest, heaving huge, panicky breaths.
Don't leave! Don't! Nia, help me!
Porsche curled around him.
Let it go, pup. Breathe it out.
Kim walked over to the man who had touched Che's throat. He was just standing there, dazed and unresponsive, waiting for him like a gift. Kim Han, Kim, and his Omega all reached out together and snapped the man's neck. Che's scent was bouncing from anger to distress to anxiety to fear so rapidly it was making Kim's head ache. He tried to stay calm, staring at the dead man slumped at his feet to center himself. But it couldn't stop him from hearing Che's gasps.
Is everyone all right? Are you... Is Kim...
I'm fine, Che. Calm down, Porsche soothed.
They didn't hurt him, did they? I need to... Yeah, is he hurt?
He's fine. Hey, Kim, Porsche said, not raising his voice, but making it very pointed. Come here a second. Che's scent flipped firmly into distress.
No, no, he doesn't like alphas. I'm out of control, so he shouldn't. It's fine, it's fine, it's fine.
Kim couldn't have made himself stay away if he'd been commanded. He stepped up behind Porsche, so Che could see him. Che's face was pale. His pupils had eaten up most of the warm brown of his eyes. He peeked at Kim around Porsche's shoulder and fisted his hands tightly in his brother's shirt.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Did I scare you?
Che whispered. Kim's whole chest ached. No. Che looked at him so helplessly. He was shaking. His scent was still cascading out of him in waves that smelled almost painful at this point. Kim took a step closer and slowly offered up the inside of his wrist. Che gripped Porsche's shirt even tighter, like he was stopping himself from reaching out.
I'm sorry. You don't have to. Peek him. You don't have to.
It's all right. Then, remembering how Che had balked at that phrase before, he added, I don't mind. Che nuzzled into Kim's wrist with a shivery sigh. His scent sweetened, but didn't lessen, and neither did his shaking. He was starting to make growling little whimpers that he couldn't seem to control. Porsche rubbed his back, but there was more concern than comfort in his voice when he said,
Che, you have to calm down.
I don't know how! Che's teeth flashed millimeters away from Kim's veins.
Concentrate on your pack, Kim's voice said.
He had come up to their group so quietly that Kim hadn't heard him. He locked down his scent completely, a feat of self-control Kim hadn't realized his brother was capable of. Kin's words radiated a stable authority that felt like solid ground in the miasma of Che's wildly shifting scent.
Focus. Tell me what you smell.
Porsche is worried. Worried about me. He loves me.
Porsche buried his face in Che's hair.
Is he hurt? Kin prompted.
I can smell blood,
Che whimpered.
Is it his blood?
No.
What does he smell like?
Just here.
Then, is he safe?
Yes, Che gasped. Yes.
His scent was slowly receding back to normal levels. Kim couldn't help but stare at his brother. He knew Kin was a good alpha. Obviously he knew that. That's why he'd run from him so completely. But seeing it like this woke that part of him who had stuck close to Kin in his first few months of presentation. It made him proud. Kin looked satisfied. Apparently, however, Che wasn't done. Kim is hurt, though. Those cuts on his knuckles opened up again. He smells angry. Kin's eyebrows had shot up. He gave Kim a very pointed stare, which was honestly fair, considering Che had included him in Kin's call for pack. However, his voice remained calm and confident when he said,
"Poor Che, what do your omegas need from you right now?"
This made Porsche lift his head from Che's hair. "Kin, they need me to calm down," Che said. It was steadier than any words he'd spoken since this whole thing began. Che opened his eyes and looked right at Kim. He pressed his nose to Kim's wrist one more time before straightening up in Porsche's hold. Porsche was looking at Kin like he'd just witnessed a miracle. "Well done." Then, without missing a beat, Kin rounded on Kim and said, "Now, what the hell are you doing here?" Kim's omega was getting ideas. It pushed him to go to Kin and do what Porsche was doing for Che. Kin didn't smell upset, but Kim's omega still wanted to offer him reassurance that his pack was all right, that he had kept them safe. Yeah, that was not happening. It was still possible to salvage some of his cover, and Kim was going to do his best. He moved out from behind Porsche, so he wouldn't have to look at Che's face while he did it.
"What are you doing here?"
Kim shot back instead. This made Kin fluster inexplicably.
I came to get Porsche. He's my bodyguard.
While I came to see Che. He's my guitar student." "Kin, how do you know him?" Porsche asked over the top of Che's head. Kim gave Kin a tiny shake of his head. Kin frowned at him and told Porsche,
"This is Kim."
"I know his name is Kim. How do you know his name is Kim?" Kim narrowed his eyes in desperate communication. Kin, because he had literally one brain cell, said,
"He's my little brother."
Honestly, Kim should have let him be kidnapped. Fine. Fine. Moving on to salvage plan B. "Brother?" That was Che's voice, still thick with tears. Kim couldn't look at him. "You told me you didn't have siblings." Kin looked more offended by that fact than the fact that people had just tried to kill him.
"I don't tell people," Kim said, which was true. "It's safer for everyone."
True again. "I had no idea who you were. You randomly came up to me at a shop and never told me what Porsche's job was, so how could I know?"
"Lies, lies, lies."
"Kim is out of the family business," Kin cut in, finally getting with the program and giving Kim some fucking backup. "Porsche, listen, there's no way he could have known."
That finally made Kim turn his reluctant eyes to the Kitasawas. They were standing close together, Porsche wearing a guarded expression. Che's face was tear-stained and flushed with panic, eyes glazed. His scent was still clinging to Kim like a hug. He had saved their lives, probably, and hadn't hurt Kim while doing it. Kim's omega couldn't believe they were lying to this alpha. It rebelled so strongly
that Kim didn't think he could stop himself from blurting out a confession if he did nothing. So he took a tiny step closer to Kin, barely noticeable. Kin noticed, though, and he shifted closer as well. He'd been keeping his scent strongly locked down, but now he let a little bit of it trickle out. Its familiar smoky smell cut through Che's sweetness. Family. Pack. Home. Kim's brothers were worth lying to Che. They were worth everything. Kim's Omega agreed with that, at least. The terrible need to confess to Che quieted a little. To make it shut up completely, Kim promised that he would tell Che the truth about everything else he asked tonight. Just not this. It was enough to loosen his voice. "I didn't mean to lie to you," Kim said, meeting Che's eyes and lying, lying. "If I'd known our families were connected, I'm sorry, truly." Che looked dazed. Kim wasn't sure how much of this he was truly absorbing. "Porsche told me your family's business is complicated. It's okay." Porsche pointed at Kim with half-hearted menace. "And meeting him was just a coincidence? You're really out?" It hurt to nod, but Kim did. "I'm a singer. I was just getting noodles. That's all." Che shifted a little, like he wanted to move close to him. But he didn't. Kin nodded in sync beside him.
"It's true, Porsche. He's not involved."
Porsche looked too wrung out to argue very much. "Okay, well, if you're gonna hang around my brother, be sure it stays that way."
"It will."
"Good," said Porsche. Just like that. Porsche didn't demand proof, or yell, or doubt. He and Che just believed them. Kim was a bad, bad person. Without meaning to, he glanced at Kin. Kin looked pained as well by this show of naivete.
"Porsche," he said, "are you hurt?"
Porsche shook his head. He was leaning towards Kin, like he was being pulled into orbit.
"Come here," Kin said roughly. "Please, just let me check."
"Hi, so demanding," Porsche said, but he stumbled to Kin's side so quickly that he crashed into him. Kin wrapped an arm around his waist to steady them both. "So, yeah, apparently that was a thing." Kim wondered if his father knew. While his brother ran his hands over every inch of Porsche in the name of first aid, Kim moved towards Che, as if he could do anything else.
"Are you okay?" Kim asked.
Che had his arms wrapped around himself. He was shivering. "I guess, if you're okay."
"I'm okay."
Kim debated on whether to say anything, but ultimately the nosiness won out.
"Did you know you could do that?"
Che squeezed himself tighter. He dropped his eyes. "Kind of. There was one time when the debt collectors were hurting us, and I had to. They were hurting us." There was a pleading edge to his voice, like he was begging Kim for something. Kim was the one who was lying to him. He was bringing his father's shadow into this house. He should be the one with that voice.
"You might be as strong as Kin," Kim said, neutrally. "I've seen him subdue an entire room."
"I wouldn't do that," Che said immediately. He still wasn't meeting Kim's eyes, and it was weird. "I usually can't. And I'll never do it again when you're around, I swear." It hit Kim then, what Che was afraid of. A bubble of amusement floated up inside him.
Che, do you think I'm mad at you?
You're really mad at someone, Che whispered. He glanced up at Kim through his eyelashes.
Ridiculous. Adorable. Did it occur to you that maybe I'm mad at the men who threatened to kidnap my brother and kill you in front of me?
He felt a rush of pure rage just saying it. And, yes, there was the tremble working its way through his body. If he hadn't been here, what would have happened?
Did it occur to you that maybe I'm mad at the men who threatened to kidnap my brother and kill you in front of me?
If he hadn't been here, what would have happened? Che stared at him, eyes wide, mouth parted.
That would make sense.
Kim had moved on to murmuring sweetly into Portia's ear. Clearly, no one else was going to do anything about the fact that Che was still shaking.
Kim tipped his head to the pair with a grimace. Let's leave them to it.
Che wrinkled his nose at their brothers. Kim nudged him towards the house, hurting him with his elbow.
You're freezing. Come on.
So, just checking. I mean, I know you said, but it's not me you're mad at, right? That's what you meant?
Kim's anger could fill an ocean. He was angry at Kim and at the men who dared to touch him. He was angry at his life, his father, himself. But this boy, who looked at him with his heart in his eyes, who could have him kneeling in the dirt, but worried about him instead.
If I'm not scared of you, why would I be mad at you?
Che whined, and okay, he was starting to slip back into distress. Now wasn't the time to be vague.
We're good, Kim said, pushing Che back into motion. Now come with me.
Author's notes. Che, at their wedding. I do. Kim, internally.
I am the best spy ever?
Kim, openly weeping out of pure love.
I do.